John chapter 21, verse 1 to 14. Page 1090 in Church Bibles. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him saying, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, tearing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Thank you so much, Marie. Thank you so much. It's great to be with you all this morning. That story, the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus is alive. Jesus has defeated death once and for all. So great to celebrate that last weekend over Easter. And now for the next 2 weeks here at, on Sunday mornings, we are looking at John chapter 21. And Jesus meets with his disciples, his followers, his friends, after he's raised from the dead. And he meets with them to help them get ready to serve him. We were hearing earlier from Karen, the disciples have got this great ongoing mission now to share the great news about Jesus across the whole world, to build up the church, to help people in the church to know Jesus more and to follow him more closely. And Jesus comes after he's raised from the dead in a really personal way to help them get ready for that mission. So how does that connect with us 2,000 years later? Well, all of us, everyone who follows Jesus, has a role to play in that great mission, serving Jesus, building up the church. That the first disciples had a really unique role to play, but all of us, everyone who follows Jesus, has a part to play in serving him. It might be here on a Sunday. It might be serving each other at church. That could be something that's kind of on a rota and organised in advance. Or maybe it's just as importantly, just the ways that we are good friends to each other. The ways that we try and encourage each other on a Sunday, the way we pray for each other, that the way we just try and say something that helps someone know Jesus better and keep going following him. Or maybe it's outside of church. Maybe it's in our workplace, on our street, with our family. Just trying to honour Jesus in the way that we live. Trying to say something about Jesus when we get the chance, to help people outside the church to know him and to follow him. Maybe it's with your kids. Maybe it's just the day after day trying to love them and care for them and raise them in a way that helps them to know Jesus. All of us, everyone who follows Jesus, has a role to play in serving him, in building up the church. And so for all of us, this story in John 21, in it, Jesus wants to help us as well in our role in serving him. So let me ask you as we start this morning, how are you feeling about serving Jesus at the moment? Perhaps just try and think of what one word you would use to answer that question. How are you feeling about serving Jesus at the moment? My guess is that there is a whole mixture of reactions to that in the room. Maybe you're feeling really positive. And maybe you think, yeah, I'm excited about serving Jesus. And I can see some ways that I can do that. And I'm not doing it perfectly, but yeah, I'm excited. If that's you this morning, that is brilliant. Praise God for that. And I hope that John 21 really encourages you to keep going and see how Jesus can use those ways that you're serving him. My guess is that perhaps for more of us, it's more of a kind of mixed answer. Maybe it's more of a kind of, I do want to serve Jesus. I am kind of trying, but I know that I'm just inconsistent in how I do it. And maybe I just feel kind of limited. I feel I'm not always that sure what I can offer in serving Jesus. Maybe for you, sometimes you look around at church on a Sunday and you see people doing things like standing at the front or doing the tech or playing the piano, and you think, I can't do any of those things. And you see the really extroverted people who are really good at talking to everyone and they welcome the new people, and you think, that's just not me. Or maybe for you, you wish you had more energy or more time to give to serving Jesus, but it doesn't feel like you have it right now. Maybe at the moment your sleep is totally rubbish. And just like doing the essentials of life and just arriving at church on a Sunday, that's an achievement. It doesn't feel like there's capacity for anything beyond that. Or maybe it's that you look back on ways that you used to be able to serve Jesus that you can't really do anymore. You think, oh, it was great when I could do that, when I could get out for that evening thing or had the time and the energy for that, but I just don't really have that right now. All of us, at different times, I'm sure, have that feeling of, I do want to serve Jesus, but I struggle and I just feel limited in the ways that I can. If that's where you are this morning, then my hope and my prayer is that John 21 gives you hope for how Jesus can use all of our efforts, however weak and stumbling they feel to us. Jesus can use all of us to serve him and to build up his church. So let's pray Let's pray that he would do that, and then we'll look at this. Father, we praise you so much that as we open the Bible and read it, you speak to us and you help us to know Jesus. Father, please may we know him better this morning, and please will we be encouraged in the ways that we can serve him. We pray in his name. Amen. Great, let's dive into it. John chapter 21. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. So after Jesus was raised from the dead, he got a message to his disciples. He said, go back to Galilee, go to the north of Israel, and I will come and meet you there. And so they go, and they're waiting to meet Jesus. And while they're waiting, they've got to eat, and they've got to earn some money. So they say, well, let's go out fishing, like we always used to do. So off they go. I wonder if you spotted verses 3 and 4. Did you spot what time of day the story unfolds? Do you spot it? Verse 3. That night, they caught nothing. They have fished all through the night. Net in, net out. Nothing at all. Net in, net out. All through the night. They are knackered. And then verse 4. Early in the morning, as the first lights of day pierce over the horizon and the dawn breaks, Jesus stands on the shore. Jesus is alive. And he comes to meet them, to reassure them, I am alive and I am with you. And this verse 4, it does that for us as well. It assures us again, Jesus has defeated death. Jesus is alive today. And he's with us today. Just like the sun rises early in the morning, day after day after day, Jesus is still alive, day after day after day, yesterday, today, tomorrow. And he's with us when tomorrow, this time, in the 100 places across London that we will be, Jesus is with us. He is with you, wherever you will be, because he is alive. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure what you think about Jesus. And maybe this is a big question mark for you. It is a huge claim, isn't it, that Jesus actually died and then came back to life, and he is still alive. We believe that that's true. In fact, as a church, everything we do is completely staked on the fact that that is true. So if that is something that you've got questions about, I would love to just encourage you to talk to someone. Maybe there's someone here you know. If you don't feel like you know anyone here, chat to Aaron, chat to me, chat to someone who's been at the front today. We'd love to talk to you more about that. Let's go on with the story. Verse 4, Jesus stands on the shore, but the disciples did not realise that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Now imagine the disciples at this point. They have been fishing all night. They are exhausted. And remember, they are experienced professional fishermen. So you'd think, if there's any fish in this lake to be caught, they would have got them by now. And now this guy rocks up on the shore. They don't know who it is. And he's like, oh, try the other side. Oh, great. But for whatever reason, they think, well, okay, get the net in. Oh my goodness! They can't even pull it into the boat. There are so many fish. Jesus can do anything. This is his world. He knows exactly where all the fish are, and if he wants there to be tons of them, right there, at this moment, he can just do it. And you know, I think they must have thought back to when Jesus first called them to follow him. I don't know if you know that story. If you want to, you can read it in Luke chapter 5 later on. It is almost identical to this story. The first time Jesus called Peter and some of the other disciples, they'd been out fishing all night, they hadn't caught anything, and Jesus came and he said, "Oh, try there," and tons of fish. And it was on the Sea of Galilee, the very same place. The memory of it must have been so vivid for them when it happened again. And at the end of that time, the first time when Jesus called them, he said, "From now on, you will fish for people. From now on, you will fish for people." And what he means is, from now on, you are going to call people to follow Jesus. From now on, you're going to invite people to be Jesus' disciples. And so now, I think, here in John 21, after Jesus is raised from the dead, he's repeating this same miracle to remind them that that's your mission. Your mission is to call people to follow me. But also to remind them, it is only with Jesus that they can do it. Do you see, in the night, in verse 3, they could fish all that they want through the darkness, and they caught nothing. You see, without Jesus, they can try this mission, they can call people to follow Jesus as much as they want, and nothing will happen. But with Jesus, in his light, with all the power that raised him from the dead, well, just like suddenly there was thousands of fish, hundreds of fish, with Jesus, with the power that raised him from the dead, he will use their words to bring people to follow him, to turn people's lives around, to give people forgiveness and new life. Without Jesus, they can't do anything, but Jesus will make their efforts count as they serve him. Here's one way of thinking about it. You'll have to use your imagination a little bit, but let's say I'm going to do some whisking. I'm going to whisk up some bread. I don't know, something like that. I've got my whisk. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Oh, that's disappointing. Fortunately for this illustration, there is a plug socket in the pulpit, which is very handy. So here we go. Let's try again. Ready? I find this amazing, by the way, like underground, there is this like network of power, and it's carried electricity from miles away through these wires, and somehow they come out in like three little holes just here on the wall. And so now, I can do some whistling. Do you see, it's only when the disciples are connected to the power source that they need, that their efforts can do anything. It's only when they're with Jesus, with the power that raised him from the dead, that then they can call people to follow him, and it will happen, and the church will grow and be built, and lives will be changed forever. And that's just the same for us. Whatever our little role is in serving Jesus, in building up the church, whether it's that person that you see on a Sunday or on a Wednesday at Bible study, and you just want to be a good friend to them and say something that encourages them about Jesus, and you think, I just feel like I don't always know what to say, or whether it's the person at work or the family member, and you really want to to tell them that Jesus died and rose again for them, and you feel like you always stumble and you always mess it up. You see, it's Jesus, it's his power, the same power that raised him from the dead, at work through us that makes our efforts count. With him, he can use us to help people to know Jesus better, to help people to know Jesus for the first time. Maybe another way of thinking about it. Our son Joel, lots of you know him, he's three. He loves baking with Katie. They get a little table out in the kitchen and they get the scales and get the flour and okay, look for a one on the scales and they pour the flour in and okay, let's put that in the bowl and they get some more ingredients and Joel tries to do some mixing and nothing happens at all and so Katie mixes it properly. And then they get the oven and Katie puts it in and they make muffins and it's great. Imagine if Joel tried to bake on his own. Imagine what the scene would be like in our kitchen. Absolute chaos. Stuff would be smashed. Flour would be everywhere. Joel would probably burn himself. You definitely wouldn't get muffins that you wanted to eat at the end of it. But with Katie with him, Katie knows all the ingredients, knows the recipe, knows how to use the oven. With Katie, they make muffins, they do it together, and it's brilliant, and he loves it. You see, without Jesus, us trying to build up the church, to reach out to people outside, to serve him, it would go nowhere. But with Jesus, with his light, with his presence with us, he can make those efforts count. He can use our weak and stumbling words to change lives, to help people to know Jesus. Let's go on with the story. Verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. See, when Peter realizes that it's Jesus, he is not hanging around. He's not waiting for the boat to, like, chug in with all the fish. He just dives straight in. I don't know, maybe he swam, maybe he did the, like, you know, the running, splashing thing when you can't really run properly in the water. He just wants to get to Jesus. And that is a great model for us, isn't it? The most important thing is not the ways that we serve Jesus. The most important thing is Jesus. And so, whether we feel like we're doing quite a good job, or whether we feel like we've not made much effort at all, we run to Jesus. We remember he has died on the cross to pay for all of the inconsistent times when our hearts didn't love him, when we loved ourselves and served ourselves. He's dealt with it all, and he's risen again and given us hope of life that lasts forever with him. So more than we think about how we're doing with serving Jesus, we think about Jesus, we rejoice that he has given us forgiveness and life with God. Well, verse 8, the other disciples eventually do get in with their massive catch of fish. And then let me read from verse 9 again. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. It's a lovely moment, isn't it? Must have been great for the disciples. I mean, they were shattered from their fishing, and now they turn up on the beach, and Jesus is like, "It's all right, I've got breakfast. Don't you worry." And again, it must have reminded them of another time when Jesus fed hungry people with bread and fish. Another time, but the other time, it wasn't just a few disciples, it was more than 5,000 people with just a handful of bread and fish. And you know, that time when Jesus fed the 5,000, it was on a hill just next to the Sea of Galilee. So he sat there around the fire with their little barbecue. They probably could have looked up and seen the place where they saw Jesus do the miracle. Again, it's just a precious reminder for them. Jesus can provide exactly what they need. As they go forward into this mission to serve him, Jesus can provide exactly what they need. Jesus can provide exactly what we need. It's not a promise of anything that we want. It's a guarantee of what we need. And sometimes it's dramatic, it's the miraculous, the 5,000 people. Maybe more often, it's the everyday. It's the kind of, you're exhausted after a hard night's work, you really need a good breakfast. I have a friend who's studying the same course as me at college. And she's studying it because she wants to serve in a church. She wants to be able to work full time for a church and serve in that way. And she left a job so that she could do it, and she had to raise funds from scratch. And there was a time last year when her boiler just packed in. And it was like she had to get it fixed, no choice really. But it's expensive. And she didn't really know how that was going to work out money-wise. And in the very same week, she got an extra gift from one of her supporters. She hadn't told them, she hadn't asked anyone for more money, just apparently on a whim, this friend of hers had thought, "I'm going to send her a bit more money." And the amount that they sent was almost exactly the amount that her boiler repair costed. Jesus knows exactly what we need, and he is able to give it to us. So what is God saying to us in this story? I think he's saying this: keep going with serving Jesus. Keep going with whatever your little role is in building up the church. And maybe also keep praying. Keep praying about the ways that you want to serve. Because in the end, it's not in ourselves that we can make any difference at all. But it's Jesus. It's Jesus working through us who can make our efforts count. And I was reading this week about a guy called Edward Kimball. Hands up if you've heard of Edward Kimball. Oh, one, but very good. I was thinking it was going to be no one. I hadn't heard of him until this week. He was a Sunday school teacher in America. And he didn't think he was a great Sunday school teacher, to be honest, but he did his best. One of the things he did was he went to visit all of the children in his group and tried to talk to them individually about Jesus. And there was one boy in his group who worked in a shoe shop, and this boy had a bit of a rough background. And Edward Kimball said afterwards he didn't really want to go in and see him, but he decided to do it. And he spoke to him, he said, "I don't think I did a good job." But that boy was ready, and he listened. And he decided to follow Jesus on that day. And the boy's name was D.L. Moody. Hands up if you've heard of D.L. Moody. Yeah, a few more of us. American evangelist. He preached the gospel probably to 100 million people in his lifetime. And none of us are like D.L. Moody. None of us are going to preach to millions of people. But probably all of us in some ways are like Edward Kimball. Just doing our very ordinary efforts to serve Jesus and probably thinking we're not doing a great job of it. But you know, Jesus can use those efforts. His power at work through us can build up his church. There's a quote I read from D.L. Moody. It says, "We can easily be too big for God to use, but never too small." We can easily be too big. We can think, I've got it, I'm capable. It's about my ability and my skills. But we can never be too small, because it's about Jesus working through us. So as we finish, just think, if you like, about one person that you would like to be able to encourage to know Jesus. Might be someone here at church, might be someone outside. Think about one person, and I'll just give you 30 seconds to pray. And pray that in your efforts, however weak and stumbling you might feel they are, Jesus would work through you with all of his power to help that person to know Jesus. Just give you 30 seconds. Father, thank you so much that Jesus is alive today and he is with us. Father, give us courage to keep serving him. And Father, may we trust that through his power, you can use our efforts to build up your church, to help other people to know Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.